You're listening to Conversion Cast, presented by Leadferno. I'm your host, Aaron Wyke. Conversion Cast focuses on digital marketing and conversion, exploring the art and science to turn a lurker on your website to a lead, a browser to a buyer. Today, we talk about video strategy for social media, discussing how to plan, create, and amplify short-form video for social channels like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and more. My guest is Natalie Eagling, president of Hey Mister Media, a social media marketing agency. Hey Mister helps businesses and brands handcraft their social strategy through content and video creation that tells their story in a unique and engaging way. So let's hit play and learn from Natalie on why and how to start leveraging video for your business. Natalie, thank you so much for joining me today on Conversion Cast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
You bet. I am really pumped about this because as I was talking to you earlier, I have done very little on social, and the fact that you guys bundle that with a lot of video, which has become such a key element into social, definitely got me really excited to talk with you, hear what you have to say and share. Because let me just start off by saying, and anything you can provide here to get your insight, since you are in this day in and day out. But I feel like the rise of short video has just been massive in the last handful of years. And just like anything, we see this transition from it being, you know, strictly almost consumer entertainment, that side driven. And then it starts to morph into ways that businesses can get their message out and market and connect and build community. Am I wrong? Is this just my narrow view and having three teenage daughters and the channels that I'm on? Or what does this look like?
Yeah, I think both. I think you're right and wrong. I think that there are, so my background before the agency is in direct response. So direct response publishing, like they have some reliance on video. And those videos, I remember sitting in a chateau in Courtemer in France, where we had like our yearly retreat. And I was like really excited for this video presentation. And this guy stands up and he goes, well, we tested an hour long video and it did better than like a straight landing page copy. So then we tested an hour and 20 minutes and it did better than the hour long video. So then we tested an hour and 30 minutes and it did better than the hour and 20. And it got almost to 2 hours before they reached the, like, okay, this is the attention span and, matched with sales, it's direct response. So it was all about getting sales from these video sales letters, a long VSL. And I was just blown away. I was like, who's watching videos for that long? And this was like, 2011 maybe. And I was like, who's doing this? Like, why is anyone doing it? And surprisingly, they still are. Like, there are still a lot of people and a lot of businesses making a lot of money, generating a lot of conversions from long form content. Now, the difference is, and do you know what? The long form content that they are doing this through will be no different to a podcast like this. We all sit and listen to like these long, podcasts whilst we're driving or, whilst we're cleaning or we're doing something in the house and we're used to that longer stuff. But I think it's also quite generational. Like I think someone like me, like I'm a millennial, like I'm pretty okay with going, I'm popping my earbuds in and I'm doing a workout and I'm listening to this thing or whatever. Whereas I do think you're right. I think, the fact that you're living with the, did you say three?
Yes.
Did you say girls?
Yes.
I mean, I have two very young girls and three is like, I would be tapped out at that point. I'd be probably leaving. So three teenage girls is good for you. let me know how it goes. But 10 to 15 second videos for that age range, that kind of demographic seems like it's what's really capturing their attention span and really engaging them. Having said that, I don't know about you, but do you ever catch them watching those god-awful long YouTube videos where,
oh yeah,
you know, it's like, well, I'm going to go and do this, and then I'm going to go and do it. And you're like, can that man's voice please, is like in my head. It's awful.
It will be not even on their phones. It will be on the TV, right?
The TV. They have
pulled up. Yeah.
Yes. Drives me insane. But so they are still engaging with the longer form content. But I think what's happening is it's Gary Vee, he called it the breadstick strategy, where, because he's really good at producing this really long form content. Yep. And then he breaks it down into the smaller chunks that, you know, they're the mic drop moments. They're the, you know, the quick non-context pieces that someone can take away from it. But the idea is that those are breadsticks. Those are crumbs along the way before you get to the kind of like the main meal kind of thing. And so I think that even in kind of what our kids are consuming and kind of Gen Zers are consuming, I think it's similar. It's like they have the smaller, like these breadcrumbs. And the idea is that they're engaging with an influencer or a brand along those, you know, with these small digestible, super short pieces. But ultimately, when they have the time and inclination, they may then still be sitting down to watch or walking or whatever they're doing and watching or listening to a piece of content that is longer. So I think it's on both sides. But I absolutely agree, though, you know, attention spans for sure have just dropped remarkably. They call it goldfish brain, or have you heard of popcorn brain? It's the same. Yep. It's like, well, you're just just doing all sorts all at the same time and just kind of jumping from one task to another. And I think, you know, that is just a part, it's part and parcel of the modern world right now, isn't it? That we just have, yep, so much access, so much technology all of the time, and distraction upon distraction upon distraction. So it's actually getting harder for us to even concentrate, never mind our children or the Gen Zers that are coming up into the world and have never been without technology. So I think it's something this short form content is something that we have to lean into, get used to. But I do think that the brands who will succeed are those who understand that yes, we need a wealth of short form, but probably it needs to be moving toward long form. You know, there should be somewhere that viewer, listener, whatever you want to call them, is landing, where they can actually experience a bit more of that brand. They can hear a bit more about that story, or they can learn a bit more about that topic, because ultimately there will be subsections of that audience who are craving that too.
Yeah, totally get it. Let's take a look at with your agency, Hey Mister, and when a business comes to you and they're looking to, you know, up their social, I mean, maybe first we should start there. I'm guessing you see a majority of people looking to up their game rather than, we've done nothing on social and we want you to help us get started. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, we occasionally do have the odd brand that's like, yeah, we have barely scratched the surface and we need some help. But most of the time they come with, you know, a reasonable size following and, a good understanding of the role of social. And I think that that's what's really important for us is to make sure, and we go through a full onboarding process that really defines what that looks like and how their overarching business goals, they kind of waterfall down into social goals so that they can clearly see how they roll back up. And if they haven't got that, like if they're not able to articulate what as a business they're trying to achieve, and what their brand beliefs are and who their target market is, well, then we'll at that point, we would probably not, we'd say, you go figure that part out and come back to us when you've got it. So I think it's really important that everyone understands that social is something that should integrate with all of your goals, with your overarching marketing strategy, and that actually you can't rely solely on social to do the job of a full marketing plan. And I think, yep, that's sometimes where clients can you know, even if they've worked in social for a long time, they can sometimes perhaps be a little bit misinformed about what the success metrics really could look like through social, because they can be fabulous. But most businesses are not selling, you know, shoes and AirPods. They're what we, you know, kindly call really boring businesses. And boring businesses don't have to be boring on social, but, yep, a boring business really does need to try a little bit harder to be able to sell their either information or product or service. And I think that's the challenge. So what we often talk to them about is we'll literally demonstrate the the marketing funnel. And we say, well, you know what? Social is right at the top. It's the brand awareness piece.
Yep.
And ideally, so we just take care of the social. So we'll do social organic and social paid. But ideally, this client, any client that comes along, is doing a couple other things along the way. So ideally, they've got an email newsletter. Ideally, they're running some search campaigns. Ideally, they have a good website and they've got some SEO on there that's kind of driving traffic back to that brand. And it's all of those things working together. It's the kind of whole, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats kind of situation. Yep. Of course, attribution is a nightmare now and it's going to probably just get worse. But the idea is that we want to be investing in these channels, even if we can't necessarily attribute directly back to them, that, you know, we want these clients to come in and really understand that social has a really important role, even if you can't track it. Now, of course, when you get through the funnel and you get to the bottom of the funnel, we can do conversion campaigns that absolutely you can track and are absolutely measurable and attributable. But I think it's a, I think you can't do one without the other. So you kind of have to have the top of funnel, the bottom of funnel. And if you certainly, if you've got a numbers-based person involved in your strategy, they'll kind of go, well, hang on a minute. We're paying how much for this and how much for that? And yet this is the only place I'm going to see a conversion. But it's like, actually, you will see a ton of conversions up here, but it's just that you'll see them on your AdWords campaign, or you'll see them through your SEO work that you're doing, or, you know, like direct will just show up on your analytics and you're not entirely sure where they're coming from. This is it. So I think it's that understanding of brand awareness as well that that social can bring, that can sometimes feel like a more difficult conversation to have.
Yeah. No matter what type of digital strategy and tactics you're engaging in to market your business, you really should be thinking about conversion. Whether you're creating great social media content, creating great videos, in the end, what you really want to do is drive them into a conversation with you. So that's where Leadferno comes in. If you're driving them to your website, we make it easier for them to raise their hand and ask a question by simply being able to text you right from your website. Say that you're engaging them on Facebook. Well, we connect to Facebook Messenger so you can read and reply to your Facebook Messenger leads as well right out of our app. So if you're looking to create more conversations and get more leads from your digital marketing, you want to look at Leadferno. Go to leadferno.com and check out our 14-day free trial. So to your point of social being integrated with all the other elements, supporting other marketing channels and messaging that you're doing. Let's shift that focus now to how do you guys look at with video, taking that same within social, where why you want to integrate video with your social and how you use video to support what you're doing with your messages. And I definitely love, and I think this is, you know, so common for how a lot of, especially small businesses, in different industries and practices and services look at social is I'm too boring for it, right? So kind of talk with some of those things. How do you guys use video to bring that entertainment or education or something worth being a mic drop for 15, 20, 30 seconds for a business that even views itself as like, what's so great about us? How do you guys kind of unearth that strategy using video and social?
Yeah. Well, look, video is a no-brainer to start with. So, you know, the platforms themselves prioritize video over anything else. TikTok really led the charge there. As soon as TikTok became so popular, Instagram then launched Reels and YouTube then launched Shorts. And so, of course, we're in this kind of like world where everybody is just trying to one-up each other around video. Video is huge. NoGenTech found that 91% of marketers were going to be integrating video content into their marketing plans over the next year. And 86% of marketers report that video is responsible at success for successfully driving and generating leads. So we know that not only are the algorithms preferring video, but also the consumers are preferring video, and the marketers that are kind of on the front line are reporting back that video really is what works. So if anybody is kind of sat there going, well, I don't know if I've got anything interesting to say, or I don't know if I'm going to be good enough to be, you know, what's our product or service got to offer? Well, like, just stop and go, I have to do it. There is no option, because this is so important and everyone is doing it. And honestly, if you're not, then you're going to get left behind by your competitors. So I think that that's like number one, is like, just accept that it is just what's happening. You're just going to have to get on board with it. But to your point, kind of around what kind of what makes a good video and how brands can kind of present themselves online in a way that is engaging through video, I think there are a couple of principles that we try to use. So, for example, authenticity. I know it's like such a buzzword at the minute, but authenticity is really, really important. So we are a team of crack iPhone users. Like, we are great with the iPhone. We know everything that we can do with an iPhone. And honestly, we've tested so many times iPhone versus more professionally shot video, because we do both. We are, you know, we have a huge production team as well. But honestly, when it comes to social, iPhone footage, that authentic, scrappy looking footage, even stuff that's maybe got, you know, poorly typed, you'll have seen it, like poorly typed subtitles, like that more authentic, rough around the edges kind of content is by far outperforming anything that looks more professionally shot. And I can almost guarantee that every single listener on this podcast has got the equipment that they require in their back pocket. So if there's someone sat there going, I don't know how to do it. I haven't got a team and I don't have the equipment. Like, I haven't got the, you know, like, it costs like $20 to buy a tripod that you can just stick your phone on top of and has a ring light attached to it, so it gives you the great lighting. Like, they're the things that I'd say are the most important things. And even then, they're not that important. But having great lighting, great audio, like if you can do a face to camera and you can talk about your product, your service, you can talk about a client, a win, something, some success that you've had, a time that you, won something great, an award that you won, you're there at the award ceremony or out there with the client, chatting to the client, and you just get catching them on video. Well, for any service-based, quotation marks, boring business, like those kinds of pieces of what we would call BTS, behind the scenes, like the peek behind the curtain footage, are so engaging and so interesting, and just show like what your life as that founder, business owner, marketer, whatever you are, how your life works and how things, how you engage and interact with the world, but also how your clients are interacting with you and that kind of thing. Like, that can go way further than some kind of snazzy looking case study that's really impersonal and really like, and doesn't offer that authenticity. So I think if everybody kind of like sticks with just those things, like just be authentic and like use the phone. It's there, it's easy, you know how to use it. There's cheap equipment if you need it that will make it even easier to use.
Yeah. So the barriers to entry are lower. They're not as high as what a lot of people think, or they're putting in their head. I loved you mentioning that. This is where I want to go next, mentioning BTS and behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Do you guys have other kind of strategic or thematic things that you look at when you're talking to clients where you bucket and kind of map out for them? Like, here are BTS opportunities. Here's tips. Here's this. Like, what do those look like for Hey Mister when you're sit down and talking with someone? What are some of the common ones that you're mapping out to get them to understand there's a lot of content opportunities that they don't realize?
Yeah. So yes, that's how we do it. So you're digging into our secret sauce. So we plan content pillars for all of our clients. So we'll sit down and look at what's going on in their business. We talk about their strategy. We understand how that rolls up into the kind of wider business goals. And then from all of that, we then kind of, we outline maybe 4-5 at a push, like you said, content buckets, what we would call content pillars. And these pillars are responsible for really showing the client the kind of content that we can produce and the kind of content that they can help to produce too, because quite often they want to be able to contribute to it as well, and bucketing it into themes that make it super easy. So if you think, you know, we're just your regular Joe business and you've got a founder and then you've got a team and then you've got some people out in the field. Well, like, there's so many opportunities to capture the content that you would need. You probably only need to post 3 or 4 times a week on, say, Meta. If you had a TikTok strategy, if you were really keen to grow TikTok, well, maybe you need to post a bit more than that on TikTok. Maybe you're looking at 5 to 6 times a week on TikTok. But still, overall, when you look at that full calendar, you're going, well, I've got, you know, 12 Meta posts. I might have perhaps, you know, 20 or so short form videos that I need to produce specifically for TikTok. And that can feel a little bit overwhelming. But actually, when you start to break it down into those content pillars, well, what if 4 of those posts are testimonials and they've already been written because they're on your Google My Business? So we can take those from there and just create those. So they're just speckled in throughout. What if 4 of those are videos that we've come and shot for you? Because we'll come and do that. No matter where you are in the US, we'll be there. Cameras, phones, all the things, shot list, and we'll capture everything that we need to capture. So you don't even have to think about it. We'll tie those videos to trends as well. So that's a great way of using the content that you're creating and then pulling in even just a trending audio and tying those two things together. So you are jumping on the bandwagon of a trend, but you're using your, you know, authentic informational or whatever content that doesn't necessarily have to be you doing a silly dance with your team. Like, everybody thought like that's all that TikTok was. So we'll fill out the content calendar with these pillars in mind. And those pillars are there strategically to make sure that someone feels like if they came to your feed, they could see a whole variety of static and video content that gives them the information they need to make a decision. Because ultimately what you want is when somebody comes to your feed or somebody sees something in their feed of yours, we want them to take an action. We want them to be engaged and interested enough to probably get off the platform and go and seek you elsewhere. Go and listen to the podcast that you just mentioned you were on. Go and Google the website that you said the offer was on. Go and have a look at some of the case studies or some of the beautiful things that you've produced, or go see the shop that you run. You know, the idea is you want to get them out of social and into, you know, a position of being able to engage and buy. So to your point around kind of like some of those common themes that we see, a really great example is we just started working with a fabulous client. He's a golf architect. And he only works with top 5% of golf courses across the US. He's really, really well connected. He gets beautiful PR pieces written about him constantly that he just wasn't posting anywhere or sharing with anyone. And he was like, I know, I'm an idiot. Like, I need to be promoting this stuff. Like, I don't know why I'm not. I just don't have the time. He's on the road constantly because, of course, he's at golf courses, like, and he's at the Masters, you know, he's good friends with a lot of people that I bet you would probably really want to be friends with. I know nothing about golf. So sadly, his connections are useless to me. But for him, we created like one of his content pillars is called Life on the Green. And people just love to see his life on the green. And often it's not green. Often it's like a heap of dirt. And he's sat like, you know, in a tractor or, you know, he's just digging up some stuff. And he's like, yeah, this is what we're doing today. Like, we're doing some excavation and this is what it's going to look like. And here it's going to be. And so like this life on the green is like, is his version of the BTS. It's his version of like, what does his life look like for the rest of the world to kind of have a little peek in and see. On the flip side, though, we have another content pillar, which is all about kind of the beauty of the game. And so he flies drones. So he has this gorgeous drone footage that oversees all of these beautiful courses that are finished. And he's so proud of them as well. Like they're all very historic. You know, they've all got real history behind them. And he can speak through that history and really educate people on like how he came to create or recreate this course that had been created, you know, in 19 or whatever, and how he's kind of come and kind of put his mark on it. And so then you get this really high quality video footage of beautiful golf courses. Well, in his world, what we're seeing is this collision of authentic content that's just like that BTS, like him sat on the green, like him just doing some work, like talking to his buddy Jim and saying like, hey Jim, like what are you working on today? And like Jim's there like, you know, well, I'm doing this. They've both got their hard hats on and it's kind of rough around the edges. But then on the flip side, you've got like the gorgeous after effect of the work that they're doing. And in that case, that type of content really does play a part for him. So it really depends. Like we always say, we're a handcrafted social media agency, but it really depends what your business is and how we can handcraft that content to you and to and those content pillars to what you're doing and what's going to be most interesting to the people that are following you or who could be following you and who aren't yet. And for him, it's that behind the scenes, life on the green, plus like the beauty of the game, like the this gorgeous drone footage that really shows like the after effect of what his team can do. So it really just depends on every client is different. Every client has very, very different content pillars. But for sure, you hit on a point like BTS is absolutely, I mean, it's what all of us are a bit nosy, aren't we? Like yeah. Everybody's a bit like, I want to see what their life looks like.
Yeah. And it's so applicable to any type of business or service, right? Mm-hmm. No matter the plumber walking into your house and whatever they're doing and giving behind the scenes on getting parts in the truck in the morning, arriving at places, the random things they see or pull out of drains. Like there is all kinds of that content. So I love that content pillars is definitely a great takeaway of this for when planning and mapping out your social and video content. Couple of just kind of quicker hitting questions to wrap up our conversation on this today. One, with we see so much copycatting between these channels with the rise of video, right? Like to some extent, what you need to create and then put it out doesn't vary that much, at least from my non-professional eye. You might disagree, but you have all these opportunities to then spread it across multiple channels like TikTok and Reels make their way into Facebook as well and YouTube Shorts. Are you guys finding when you do that, you are automatically moving them to have channels on all of those platforms? Or are you only concentrating where they already have audience?
As in the clients?
Yes.
The brands? No, I truly believe in diversifying the channels that you're working with. So, you know, I have been a part of a business that lost its social channels overnight. And it was a $1 billion business and relied heavily on social, both ads and organic. And we lost everything overnight. And the businesses that survived through that period were those who had built like an email list or who had another alternative channel that was just up and coming and hadn't, you know, didn't necessarily have the mass effect that Meta does, but had something, had an audience at least being built and grown somewhere else. So since then and going through that awful experience, I fully advocate diversification. I kind of say it's de-risking, you know, it's just de-risking you from anything that could happen. Because ultimately you might think that you own your followers, but you don't. Those followers do not belong to you. Those followers belong to the social platform.
Exactly.
And the social platform is monetizing them. So there's a reason if you're doing organic that you're not paying for it. It's because the people that are following you are the ones that are valuable to the platform, not you. You're just there giving some free content. So they owe nothing to you as a brand, as an advertiser. So I think what's really important for people to understand is even if you're starting from zero, you should start. You should do something. So if you've got a few thousand followers across the Meta channels and you're going, well, TikTok is like, it's just young people dancing, isn't it? Well, A, no, it's not. B, as it becomes more mainstream, it will be just exactly the same as what happened across Meta, where more and more of the older generations began to join. And now everybody thinks that Facebook is for old people. Do you remember when it was for young people? I do. So the same thing's going to happen across all of these new channels that will pop up. And we're all scared about what might happen with TikTok. Exactly the reason why if you're already on TikTok, you should be moving to YouTube Shorts. If you have YouTube Shorts, you should be looking at what other opportunities that you have. Pinterest is another really interesting one that's starting to get its own little rise now. So I think that we really have to consider that these channels are all options and available to us with many of the same audiences, but also many different audiences. And if you are starting from zero, you should just start. Like, it's so much better to even have half the followers somewhere else than none. Because if you get shut down, if something happens to the platform, if TikTok disappears tomorrow, and we're all like headless chickens screaming, we want to be able to go, hang on a minute, we prepared for this. We have another channel waiting in the wings. We've already been building and growing the following there. We just move our focus to focusing purely on this one to get it to grow. So yep. I think my personal and professional advice is always diversify, diversify, diversify across as many platforms as possible, even if you're starting at zero.
Yep. And that's awesome advice. And that falls right in line. An earlier episode, if you go back to my episode with Ross Simmons, who is a master at content distribution within content marketing, it follows those same lines. Like, creating that content is the hardest part of it. After that, distribution. And then you need to correctly embrace distribution to not just, I put it out there once and that's the only time it ever airs, like repurpose it, repackage it, continue to distribute. Create once, distribute forever is definitely what a smart marketer does. And yeah, social and video is no different. Let's end with this. So you've already told us to get out there and just make it happen. We have the tools right in our phone and easy to happen. What are a quick two or three kind of tactical tips you would tell somebody for shooting that will, you know, these are kind of simple pros tips that if you just have this in mind, it will help your video come out better, sound better, whatever that is, without polish or editing, things like that. What are a couple of those you could share with us?
Good lighting, a clean camera. You'd be amazed like how easily these things get blurry and dirty and fingerprints all over them, especially if you've got kids.
Yep.
There's something really simple called a screen wipe and it works great. So clean camera and clear audio, like key things. Oh, yep. Last one I guess is subtitles. Always, always, always use subtitles on your videos. So many people watch video with no sound. My husband is not one of them. If there's any other women listening who happen to have husbands that listen to really noisy videos at 11 o'clock at night, they will know that husbands are not the problem here. Everybody else in the world, though, outside of them, listens to videos on silent. So they're watching it and reading the subtitles. So subtitles always, even if they're bad subtitles, they're better than no subtitles. So, and just don't be too picky. Don't be too perfect is not the goal here. Authentic is.
Yep. Awesome. Great advice. Those are great tips, especially such a basic thing that I've had to think of before myself, like wipe the camera lens, right? Like such a basic thing, but you're exactly right with that. Natalie, thank you so much for sharing just an incredible amount of information on this. If people want to tune in more and connect with you, what are the social channels or where are the places they should follow you or the agency?
Sure. The easiest thing to do is to go to our website. It's heymrmedia.com. Hey Mr. is hey and then MR. Heymrmedia.com. And from there, they can get to all our social channels. They can see what we do. They can see our clients and they can fill out a brand brief if they want and get in touch and we can see if we can help them.
All right. And I will be linking to those in our show notes as well for the podcast. Natalie, thank you so much for joining me and blessing us with your knowledge on social and video today.
Thanks, Aaron. I've loved it.